The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you, but the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given commandment, so do I. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have you ever wondered why the Holy Ghost is depicted as a dove? In pictures of the Blessed Trinity, we see God the Father as an older man. This is to show his role as the Creator and as our Heavenly Father. God the Son is depicted as a young man, the way he looked when he took on a human body here on earth. But the Holy Ghost appears as a dove. And of course, this comes from the Gospel. The evangelist described the Holy Ghost as coming in the form of a dove. While there are many explanations for why the Holy Ghost appeared in this way, this symbol for the Holy Ghost comes from the history of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. You see, in these ancient nations, a dove was the guide for sailors and a pilot for mariners. In ancient Assyria and Babylon, whenever sailors wanted to know the direction or the distance of land, they released one or two doves from a cage, which was always carried along with them. The bird then swiftly winged its way above the clouds, hung in the air for a moment, and then, like an arrow, flew to the nearest land. The sailor would then point the bow of his ship in that direction, certain that land lay ahead. What a beautiful picture this is for the dove of the Holy Ghost. So Certain priest explains that life is like a sea. We are sailors in this sea of life. And we are lost, uncertain of what path to take. It is then that the Holy Ghost, like a dove, leads the way to the safety of heaven. And when our Lord ascended into heaven, the apostles were like the sailors. They were lost. They were uncertain what to do or where to go. But our Lord had promised that he would send the Holy Ghost to lead them. It's really incredible to think of. The apostles had been taught by our Lord himself. They had lived with him for 3 years. But they still didn't understand. They were confused and weak. Even just before the ascension, we saw the apostles asking our Lord if he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. How many times before had he tried to explain to them that his kingdom is not a worldly kingdom, rich and powerful, but rather a spiritual, heavenly kingdom? And then on Pentecost Sunday, the apostles were hiding out of fear. They were still so weak and ignorant of our Lord's love and protection for them. Of course, our Lord knew this, and so he promised to send them help. It was at the Last Supper that he told them, "The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." The Holy Ghost came to help them understand the truths that our Lord had been teaching, and to help them put these truths into practice. The practical application, so to speak, of what Christ taught. The Holy Ghost gave them the strength and the grace to follow through with their mission. And my dear friends, since that first Pentecost Sunday, though our Lord ascended, the Holy Ghost has remained to guide and to strengthen the church, and to guide and strengthen each and every member of that church. As one redemptorist wrote, "The Holy Ghost dwells also in the souls of individual Catholics, giving them the spiritual strength they need for the battle of life, and enlightening them to know God's holy will." Every soul in the state of grace is a temple of the Holy Ghost. When we are in the state of grace, the Holy Ghost dwells within us. He operates in our souls to enable us to practice virtue and to avoid sin. Without the state of grace, he is not working in our soul, and without his help, we cannot do anything that has supernatural merit. The Holy Ghost operates through the seven gifts, which we know are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. These gifts are to combat the seven deadly sins. And through the fruits of the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost helps us to practice virtue. The Jesuit scholar Cornelius Alapide mentions three fruits in particular as necessary for our daily lives. And they are peace, long-suffering, and meekness. First of all, peace, which comes from a freedom from all inordinate passions. It is a friendship with God, a wonderful calmness, which seeks only God's will and not our own pleasure or gain. It is a peace of conscience. A peace so wonderful, Cornelius says, that even if holy living brought no other reward than this earthly peace, it would be enough to move us to endure all sufferings and to undergo all labors. The second fruit is long-suffering or patience. This virtue enables us to be patient in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. To have peace with ourselves and with others, we need to have the patience to bear for as long as God wills, and to bear cheerfully every every ill, every difficulty, and every cross. And third, and perhaps the most important of these fruits, is meekness. Meekness is the ability to overlook or to forgive insults and offenses, rather than allowing their bitterness to endure, forgiving rather than dwelling on the offense. These are virtues we need to have happiness in this life and in eternity. Peace, patience, and meekness. And there is such a close relation between these three. How can we be happy if we don't have peace? We'll always have crosses, but we can still have peace and happiness in this life if we bear them with patience. But if we don't have meekness, we will never be able to have patience or to live peacefully with our neighbor. But how hard it would be to practice these virtues without the help of the Holy Ghost. You know, too often we take the Holy Ghost for granted. We don't even realize how much he helps us to practice these virtues throughout our day. But we can see the influence of the Holy Ghost so clearly when we look at the apostles before and after Pentecost. They were weak and cowardly before, but brave, firm in their faith, willing to do anything for God, once they had received the help of the Holy Ghost. Now, we are certainly no better than the apostles. Without the help and the light of the Holy Ghost, it would be nearly impossible to practice these difficult virtues. And so let us pray to the Holy Ghost for help, especially when you're tempted against one of these virtues, peace, patience, or meekness. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you to put God's law above your own passions, to patiently bear the difficulties and the crosses of life, and to practice meekness through forgiveness. Especially use the short aspiration, "Come, Holy Ghost," when you feel your passions, anger, frustration, or revenge, these passions about to overwhelm you. Like the doves guiding sailors to shore, for centuries the Holy Ghost has guided men to heaven, and he will continue to guide those who are faithful. So let us turn to the Holy Ghost with that little prayer, "Come, Holy Ghost," and he will be sure to come to your aid, to lead you to shore, your heavenly home. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.